Is it possible to get the latest news and faithful Catholic reporting? The Register delivers. Subscribe today by going to EWTN.com and clicking on the link for The Register or calling 800-421-3230.
From the National Catholic Register, this is Register Radio, bringing light and clarity to the news and topics that affect your life.
And this week on Register Radio, Tim Drake will take listeners behind the scenes at the National Catholic Register. He'll be speaking with the Register's managing editor, Tom Wehner, about what's involved, actually, in putting a newspaper together every week. And in the second half of our program, Dan Burke talks with Register blogger Simca Fisher about New Hampshire's rejection of a $1.8 million contract with Planned Parenthood. Wow. Hey, welcome to Register Radio. It's a co-production of EWTN and the National Catholic Register. I'm Tom Price, along with Dan Burke, executive editor of the Register. How are you, Dan?
Great, Tom. It's good to be with you.
And also with you. And, of course, Tim Drake is here. He is senior writer for the Register. Hello, Tim.
Great to be with you, Tom and Dan.
As always, my friend. Tim, I think people have this idea about what it takes to put out a newspaper. You know, I personally have these old visions of Lois Lane and Clark Kent. And of course, there's that editor who's always looking for Spider-Man, J. Jonah Jameson. So here's my question for you, young man. Is the Register like that?
It is kind of like that because our J. Jonah Jameson, Tom Wehner, he's always looking for me because I'm out in Minnesota. So I'm kind of like the Spider-Man of the Register. It's not quite like that, but... It's good to have Tom with us this morning. Tom knows news. Prior to working for the National Catholic Register, Tom spent 25 years working in secular media and publishing, and he currently serves as the National Catholic Register's managing editor. Tom, thanks for joining us today on Register Radio.
It is great to be with you, Tim and Tom and Dan. It's a pleasure talk radio and talk publishing.
Now, because we work in the business, I think what we sometimes forget is that people don't have a picture of, you know, what it's like in the Register's world. So give, first of all, a snapshot of the size of the Register's staff, and then how many different freelance writers work for the newspaper from around the world.
Well, Tim, I will share this information with you, Dan, and Tom, and the intimate gathering we have across the nation and probably across the world with EWTN's radio listeners. We have seven staffers. We have seven Register staffers, and I know that is a biblically perfect number, but we're hoping to raise enough revenue where we can hire additional staff members because we've been growing since our marriage to EWTN. In addition to that, however, in addition to the seven staff members, we do have approximately 75 correspondents that we employ for stories who write for us, and they're located around the world. We have a correspondent in Rome, we have a correspondent in Jerusalem, we have a correspondent in Asia and other parts of Europe and Mexico and the world. So we're pretty spread out in terms of writers.
And in covering the news, we need to be spread out. I think that's the thing. When I talk to people who read the Register, they are sometimes surprised to learn that we have these freelancers who are in Latin America and Asia and the Middle East, around the world. But that's necessary in trying to report on what's happening in the church in the world, isn't it?
It is, and it is really, really gratifying to hear from these writers because they know what the Register represents in the scheme of Catholic publishing and in publishing as in general, because they are aware of the Register's mission and the perfect marriage with EWTN. We complement our mission perfectly. They understand that what the Register represents, and so a lot of them are willing to write for the Register.
Tom, you mentioned that they understand what the Register represents. Can you explain for listeners what does the National Catholic Register represent?
Sure. It is interesting because having spent 25 years in secular publishing, you see all different kinds of ethical practices, good and bad, and solid reporting and not so solid reporting, solid editing and whatnot. And the Register, I think, which is what drew me to it, drew me to the publication even before I started working for the Register, was its commitment to the mission of the church. If you can put a snapshot on it, the Register looks at the events of the world through the lens of the church, whereas our other media outlets, whether secular and Catholic, will do the opposite. They will look at the church through the lens of the world, and that is oftentimes that is in direct conflict with what the church teaches. So we proudly and unabashedly say that we are loyal to the Pope and Magisterium, and we hope that our publication, our content, both in print and online and on Register Radio, reflects that.
Sure. This is Tim Drake with Register Radio. I am speaking with Tom Wehner, Managing Editor of the National Catholic Register. Tom, just give a snapshot of how the newspaper actually gets put together every other week.
Okay. And since, actually, when you say every other week, I will answer your question regarding the print edition, because if you really look at it, we are a daily publication, because we update our website daily with new blogging material and new content for the website daily. So that's our daily operation. As far as the print edition goes, Tim, we have a news meeting every Monday, and this is a formal news meeting. This does not include the emails that go back and forth between our staffers and our correspondents and all the different story pitches and proposals that we receive. But we have a news meeting every Monday, a formal news meeting, where we map out our next print edition. We have a theme or a few themes that we have set for a particular issue, and we try to tailor some of our features and perhaps one or two news stories and maybe one of our columns, our opinion columns, and perhaps the publisher's note or an editorial toward that theme. And so each of the seven people who have a direct hand in the Register's publication, all of our staffers, we will meet, and and one of them includes our graphic designer, who will give us how much space we have, and where we are relegated to how much space we have. We need to be really, really solid in our reporting and writing in that way. To make a long story even longer, give and take. We communicate between each other, and we come up with the best kind of story ideas and who will write the stories. And we really try to grind it out and get the best possible content to go with the theme, and best then see what happens in the news, whether it's national news or Vatican news. And we try to make sure that we get the most up-to-date content for our print edition.
I want to remind listeners, we're talking with Tom Wehner, Managing Editor at the National Catholic Register. Tell me, Tom, how is the choice made about which writers to assign stories to, and how do you end up prioritizing which stories are worth covering and which are not?
Well, fortunately, providentially, the Register staff is a veteran staff. I mean, Tim, you yourself have been associated with the Register for more than 10 years, and our other staffers are veteran staffers. So they know their milieu, so they know, because of the small staff, I have lots of trust in you and in the staff that comprises the Register staff. We do have writers who do have a specific specialty, and so yours, I mean, because you're in your past life, you're an educator, so usually we will give you, if there's a story that comes our way, we will give priority to you as your specialty within education. So if you, all you listeners out there, if you see an education story, that's Tim Drake has probably, that's his specialty, so he will have priority to write that. A lot of our story proposals come in from our writers. Story pitches will come in from our correspondents who aren't staffers. We will assess, they are pretty good writers in their own right. So we will assess the importance of the issue, and we will talk about it at our staff meeting. And if it's something that we can let the writer who proposed the story write, we will let them do that. Otherwise, we do have, as I said, our veteran staff can choose from a great roster of freelancers that we have at our disposal, and we will assess it that way.
Let's talk a little bit about the online presence of the Register, because that has changed significantly. In January of 2010, the website was redesigned, and several bloggers were brought on the Register's team. Talk a little bit about how the newspaper, the print version, and the website work together.
That's a great question, because we do have a dedicated print readership that shows an amazing loyalty to the Register and what we accomplish. We try to have that spill over into our online presence, and it has so far very much. We made the decision to add bloggers in order to increase our readership online, which, I mean, and blogging as a relatively new phenomenon, but I mean, relatively new can be a week in the new media. I guess blogging is now regarded as an older form of new media. The addition of the bloggers in January 2010 immediately transformed our online presence. In every previous benchmark that we had for our website was eclipsed in a big way. And to give you an idea of our readership, our online readership, it's between the months of March and August. From March to August, end of August 2010, the Register had 1.3 million visitors to ncregister.com. In that same span in 2011, this year, we had 2.7 million visitors to ncregister.com. So the bloggers that were chosen for ncregister.com had a distinct value. They weren't just selected from, you know, we picked and choose. We actually had meetings to determine who was going to be blogging for the Register, their content and their value, and I consider them the writers first and foremost, because their value as a writer is very, very high, because you'll see some of the bloggers who also write in the Register print edition as columnists, etc. So they are writers first and foremost, and so they get the message of the gospel across, and in a really, really endearing way, and sometimes in a really confrontational way. We accept that.
You talked about, has the subscriptions to the Register, have those increased since EW10's acquisition of the newspaper, Tom?
Yes, they have, Tim. They've gone up since February 1st. They've gone up slowly but steadily, and we know, and so we are hoping that better things will catch on. I receive correspondence, whether by phone or email, who are wishing us well in the new relationship and the new collaboration with EWTN. And as I said before, it can only mean better things for both, for all parties involved, and ultimately for the church, because you try to put numbers, you know, you try to put numbers behind things. Numbers do mean something, but when you're in the business that EWTN and the Register are in, you're really not going to see the fruits of your labors until the next world. You know, it's interesting how that works.
That's right. Well, Tom, I want to thank you for taking the time to give us a little behind the scenes look at the National Catholic Register here on Register Radio. And I also want to say it's great working with you.
Same here, Tim. It's been my pleasure.
Always a pleasure talking with the both of you. Thank you so much, Tom and Tim. And when we return, Dan Burke talks with Simca Fisher about some very big news regarding Planned Parenthood. And this time, it's actually good news. This is Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Stay with us.
Are you concerned about the way our nation and our world are heading? Are you looking for the truth behind the issues of the day? Do you need support in standing up for life, the family, and our Catholic faith? Then join well-informed Catholics worldwide who depend on the National Catholic Register to address the most compelling questions of our time. Now part of the EWTN family of services, the Register is a trusted source of news and views with an unwavering fidelity to the Pope and the Magisterium. Get the in-depth analysis you need explaining what happened and why it matters for Catholics who engage in the culture to serve Christ. To start your subscription to the National Catholic Register today, go to EWTN.com and click on the link for the register, or call 800-421-3230. That's EWTN.com, then click on the link for the register on our homepage, or call 800-421-3230.
Join us for the Daily Mass, celebrated each day here on EWTN.
Let's return to Register Radio on EWTN.
And we welcome you back to Register Radio. Along with Dan Burke and Tim Drake, I'm Tom Price. And Dan, we're very delighted right now to bring on Simca Fisher with some great news about the state of New Hampshire really putting the hammer down on Planned Parenthood. In Simca's blog, which is seen on ncregister.com, she uses some pretty colorful language to make her point, I would certainly say. What do you think?
Yeah, Simca always brings a bit of a different perspective to the table. We love it. It's amazing what's happening around the country with Planned Parenthood, with the faithful efforts of people like Lila Rose. They're really making a difference to help cut off funding and expose Planned Parenthood. The bad economy also has a positive effect in fighting these the funding, because it makes, you know, there's less money to go around. So recently in New Hampshire, there was a vote to defund Planned Parenthood to the tune of about $1.8 million. There's a bit of a twist here, Simca. Tell us a bit about what's going on there.
Yeah, what happened was, this was back in June. Okay, New Hampshire is facing tough times like everybody else around the country. So the Executive Council met to review not only Planned Parenthood, but other health service providers that provide for poor people in the community. And they noticed that Planned Parenthood is the only one that provides abortions. Planned Parenthood does, they contract most of their work out of state, so it wasn't even benefiting New Hampshire in an economic way. And as a nonprofit organization, their CEO was making $250,000 a year.
Amazing.
So they kind of looked at each other and thought, what the heck? Why are we giving these people $1.8 million when there's, you know, houses are being foreclosed and people are out of work and everything? So they voted. It was kind of a close vote. It was they voted 3-2 to defund Planned Parenthood, just to cut off their $1.8 million contract.
So the audience shouts hooray at that. But there's a twist. Tell us about that twist.
Well, it was short lived. I mean, but like you said, there was a shout of hooray. Everybody was happy, especially since so much news has come out recently about the frankly horrible things that go on in Planned Parenthood. Not only do they provide abortions, which they're upfront about, but you know, there's all kinds of economic shenanigans. They're dishonest with their money. And they don't report crimes when they see them. This is what Lila Rose and others have exposed. So they're obviously extremely corrupt. So Obama, of course, came riding in to rescue them, because it doesn't matter what the people of New Hampshire wanted. It doesn't matter what the Executive Council voted for. It doesn't matter where our tax dollars are supposed to go. What he did was he basically said, okay, fine, you don't want your state tax dollars to go to fund Planned Parenthood, so we're just going to take the money out of your other pocket. We're going to use federal tax dollars. And he restored every penny, $1.8 million, right back to Planned Parenthood again.
Absolutely astounding. You're listening to Register Radio. We're here with Register blogger Simca Fisher talking about the twists and turns of Planned Parenthood funding. So essentially, Obama stepped back in and made up the gap of $1.8 million. Where the heck does that money come from when the country is struggling so much?
That's a very good question. It's a very good question, which Obama is apparently hoping that people aren't going to notice. I mean, the federal government gives Planned Parenthood hundreds of millions of dollars every year. I don't know if people realize this. And I was just reading this morning, actually. I think I saw it on the Register, as a matter of fact. The Guttmacher Institute, which is the research arm of Planned Parenthood itself, has come out with a study that between the years of 2001 and 2006, the amount of federal funding given to Planned Parenthood has increased steadily, and the number of unplanned pregnancies has increased steadily. So even if you think they're doing the right thing, they're doing a very poor job of it.
It doesn't work, does it?
No, I mean, it's just that there's no excuse. There's no excuse for them to be in business at all, and there's certainly no excuse for the American people to be paying for them to be doing such a terrible job.
Well, the situation in New Hampshire isn't a lot of fun, but I do think we're making progress with people like Lila Rose and the defections from Planned Parenthood like Abby Johnson. And recently, Alveda King stated on her Facebook page that there were as many as 2,000 abortion clinics, but that number is now down to 682. So doesn't that seem encouraging?
Yeah, it's very encouraging. And I've been following this for a long time. You know, we used to go to pro-life rallies when I was little and everything. And I've seen a real shift, and I think that the new generation of pro-lifers are doing the exact right thing. They're making it extremely personal, and they're meeting people where they live, which is online, basically. You know, I live online. Everybody else does. They're showing videos. They're sending out, they're making it very public, and they're making it very personal. And they're showing these real-life recordings of what people in Planned Parenthood are actually saying to who, you know, when Lila Rose is posing as a young abused girl, and all they want to do is just say, "Oh well, let's fix this problem," you know. So I think that people can only block out that much information. They can only keep on saying, "No, Planned Parenthood is good. I'm sure they're good. I'm sure they're good." And the other thing is, it's not even directly just pro-life causes. It's also just an advance in science. You know, you can go to your doctor and you can get a 3D or what they call a 4D ultrasound, and you can see a little baby at 10 weeks with the little fingers and the little toes, and you can see them yawning and you can see them sighing and turning over and everything. And then you go to Planned Parenthood's website and it says, "It's just a blob of cells." And you think,
it doesn't work.
Clearly it's not. So what? Who are these people who are just, you know, clearly lying to us? And I think people are, they're really being beaten at their own game, because they always wanted to say it's all, you know, they wanted to present themselves as the scientific ones. And, you know, the pro-lifers are these crazy, oppressive, religious zealots, you know, chanting and harassing people. And the truth is just becoming more common now, and people are starting to realize, they're starting to draw their own conclusions.
You're listening to Register Radio, and this is Dan Burke, and we're talking with Register blogger Simca Fisher about Planned Parenthood funding. One of the most encouraging things, pieces of news that I've seen in recent months and years, is that Congress is going to be investigating Planned Parenthood. And this came across yesterday Register website. I was elated. How did that strike you?
Oh, I had the exact same reaction. I thought, finally, because, I mean, I was elated and then I was sort of a little bit irritated at the same time, because it's like, that's what I've been trying to tell you.
It's about time, right?
Congress has finally figured out that there's something really wrong here. And I think it's because of money, you know, but whatever it takes, if it takes, you know, huge budget deficits to get their attention, and if it takes, you know, wondering where is all this money going to make them finally take action, that's fine. But they're absolutely going to find horrible abuses, not only with money, but, you know.
Yeah, and I think it's really important for all of us to be praying for this effort, that the truth will come to light, that God would be in the midst of this investigation, that the hearts and minds of the investigators would follow the right trails and really reveal what's happening here, because I don't think it's going to be pretty.
No, I mean, there are horrible stories out there. I mean, if you do any, I've done some research in the past to find out that the testimony from women who have been victims of abortion and victims of Planned Parenthood, and you can sometimes lose sight of it when you're a pro-lifer, and just, you can get angry and you can get all, you know, feel like a warrior, and then you realize, oh, there's all these wounded people out there, and Planned Parenthood doesn't care about them. It won't even admit that there is anything that there is such a thing as, you know, post-abortive trauma, and of course there is. So, like you say, I mean, what we need to do is, like, we need to pray, and we need to remember that, of course, Christ is going to win in the end. Of course, the truth is going to come out in the end. And it may not take the course that we hope it takes. It may take longer than we hope. But I really, all the signs point to the tide shifting.
Amen. We got to keep up the fight.
You're listening to Register Radio. We're talking here with Simca Fisher. And Simca, I want to certainly point out your wonderful blog and all the other bloggers that are on ncregister.com.
Thanks a lot.
Perhaps you could talk for just a second about some of the other people who are on there with you.
Oh, there's so many to choose from. My favorite is actually a personal friend of mine, Jen Fulweiler, who's got five small children at home, and she's probably tired of hearing this, but I don't know how she does it. She always has something new and interesting to say, and she always keeps her head up. She gets attacked a lot by atheists, and she's a classy lady. If you're listening, Jen, I think you're a classy lady. And I always enjoy reading Mark Shea's blog. He's got a wonderful sharp tongue, and he always gets right to the heart of the matter.
He does indeed. And you know, Simca, we don't know how you do it. You've got a pretty busy life yourself. How do you find time to get the blogging in?
Well, I'm wearing my pajamas right now.
So. Okay. All right. Sounds good. Well, we certainly want to encourage everybody to go to ncregister.com, check out what Simca has to say about Planned Parenthood, and I know that you're going to keep on top of this important story. Thank you so much for joining us today here on Register Radio, Simca.
Thanks a lot for having me.
A real pleasure. And Dan, I know that you follow the blogs yourself, and you'll be looking at all this as well.
Oh, yeah. We're all constantly on top of what's going on out there, and the bloggers are doing a great job in keeping on top of the news of the day. So,
well, thank you so much, Dan Burke, for joining us today here on this edition of Register Radio.
It's been great being here, Tom.
And also for you, too, Tim Drake, back there in Minnesota. We will talk again next week. Thank you for joining us.
As always, thank you.
And thank you so much for joining us today on Register Radio. For Tim Drake, Dan Burke, and everyone at the Register and here at EWTN, I'm Tom Price. See you next week.
For more information about the National Catholic Register and about Register Radio, go to ncregister.com. Podcasts of Register Radio are posted on ncregister.com and on ewtn.com. Join us next week at this time for Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Register Radio is made possible by donations from generous listeners like you. To bless us with your gift, visit ncregister.com and click on the Donate tab or call 205-568-9756.